So follow that if you dare, I think. Thank you very much to everyone for bringing Philippi alive for us today. I don't want to really talk about all that story, but just to pick up on three people who we came across in the drama and in the reading. And I've called them three possessed people because they were all possessed in different ways. Firstly, we're talking about the slave girl. She was a girl who was possessed, it says, by a spirit which could enable her to predict the future, an evil spirit, some versions say. Now, we know from our experience in Zambia that evil spirits are real. Of course, this girl here was actually being used by others to predict the future and to get money. And a lot of people claim to foretell the future, and a lot of people are just tricksters. They just try to con us into parting with our money so that they can tell our fortune. But there are people who do have real powers, evil powers from the devil, which do enable them to do supernatural things. And this girl, I believe, came into that category. She made a lot of money for her owners, it says in the passage. Now, in Zambia, we do often find that people are possessed by demons. And that's because witch doctors are very, very common. Pick up any newspaper in Zambia, go along the road, you'll see adverts for African doctors. And they all claim to be able to help with all kinds of problems. Health problems, marital problems, money problems, you name it. You just go and consult them, and they claim that they're able to give you what you need, what you want. And as a result of opening themselves up to these type of consultations, people can become possessed by demons and evil spirits. And often, always, they are filled with fear, is what follows on from this type of experience. We in the West may think that those things are not real, but they certainly are in places like Zambia. But the great news is that although evil spirits can be powerful, Jesus is much more powerful. And in his name, people can be set free from such things. In the story, Paul said, "In the name of Jesus, come out of you," and the demon came out of this girl, and she became normal again, and she was freed from this possession. And we need to learn from this experience, from this girl. Fortune telling is something which we should not indulge in. Instead, we should believe that God is in charge of the future, and that nothing can separate us from his love. Many people are afraid of the future. They're fearful. What might happen in the future? Maybe I'll become ill. Maybe my best friend and my partner will die. Maybe something terrible will happen. And so that causes a lot of people to be fearful about the future. And they face it with great trepidation and uncertainty. But Christian people don't need to have that fear of the future. We do not know what the future holds, but we do know who holds the future, as a song from long ago says. And it's great to have the assurance that God is in charge of the future. Nothing happens without his permission. Nothing happens without him being aware of it and being able to use it. We saw that confidence, didn't we, in Silas. He said, "I don't know why we're in this situation, but I'm sure that God will bring something good out of it down the line." And that's the kind of confidence that Christian people can have, because they know that God is in charge of the future. And there's a wonderful verse in Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39. Let's say this together, because this is a real truth we need to get into our hearts and our minds, something which we need to become part of us. Romans 8, verse 38 and 39. I am convinced that nothing, the future nor anything else in all creation, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. So that's the lesson we can learn from this girl. We don't need to be afraid of the future. We don't need to resort to contacting witch doctors or evil spirits, because we know God and He is able to keep us secure in His love. Now, the second person who was possessed, or group of people who were possessed, were the owners of this girl. She was a slave, which meant that she was the property of these people. They treated her as a thing, not a person, and they used her to make money. Now, we all know about that kind of situation today, don't we? Human traffickers are always in the news, and I'm sure a lot of the problems we're seeing on our TV screens to do with the migrants trying to get in through the Channel Tunnel are because they've been trafficked. People have been paid a lot of money to get them from where they were to somewhere where they've been promised streets made of gold. And that kind of evil is very prevalent in our world today. It's fueled by a desire for people who want to make money and use human beings as things and not people who should be cared for. And so this desire for money, it says in the passage that they made a lot of money from using this girl. And when Paul cast out this demon, they saw that their hope of making money was gone. So they were possessed by this desire to make money. Many people today are in that situation. They go to extreme lengths to make money. They do all sorts of things to get more and more money. They're possessed by the idea that if they have money, they will have security. If they have lots of money, they will be happy. We see this here in the UK. We see it in Zambia. There was once a young man in the church where we used to go to in Kasempa, and he came to our church, and we sat down with him and found out his story. He told us that he wanted to become rich, so he joined up with a group of Satanists and went along with them. Then after a while, they said, no, if you really want to become rich, what you have to do, you have to kill your parents. That way, by sacrificing blood, then you will have proved that you are able to worship Satan, and then Satan will bless you with making you rich. Now, fortunately for him, he loved his parents. His parents were Christian people, and he didn't do that, and that caused him to come away from them and to come to the Lord. But in Zambia, there's a real belief, and many people believe, that anybody who is rich is because they are worshippers of Satan. But other people sacrifice their family in other ways. In Zambia, we have a lot of people who will be quite willing to leave their wives or leave their husbands and go to faraway countries to study for long periods, 2 or 3 years at a time, because they believe if they get their degree, then they can come back, get a good job, and get lots of money. And that sacrifice which they make can often wreck their marriages, destroy their families, and cause a lot of problems. But at the time, they say, no, getting money through this would be the best way. And so this desire for making money is everywhere in the world. And we need to be aware of that, and we need to be careful that we don't fall into this trap of loving money so much that we do all kinds of things which are evil and bad and result in all kinds of harm. Paul has a lot to say about this later on when he wrote to his protege Timothy. He told him, don't put his trust in uncertain things like wealth. Because money is okay, but when it's gone, it's gone. It's very unreliable. There's nothing certain about it. Instead, we should put our hope and our trust in somebody who is permanent, who's certain. That's God Himself. And this leads us to the next verse I want us to really learn together today from 1 Timothy 6. And I just picked out three phrases from three verses in this chapter to help us to realize the dangers of wanting to get rich and the importance of placing our hope in God, who provides us with everything for our enjoyment. So let's say this one together. 1 Timothy 6, verses 6, 10, and 17. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap. The love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Put your hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Very good, but I think you can do better. Let's say it again. 1 Timothy 6, verse 6, 10, and 17. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and the trap of money, the root of all kinds of evil. Put your hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. So that's the second group of people, people possessed by the love of money. The third one is the good one. These were the missionaries, possessed by a desire to make disciples of Jesus. Why were Paul and Silas in Philippi in the first place? It was because they heard this call in a dream from people of Macedonia, come over and help us. And so they went over into Europe, the first time Christian missionaries came into Europe. That was what Paul and Silas were bent on doing, spreading the good news about Jesus to as many people as possible. And they didn't worry about the effect it had upon them, whether it caused them to have hardships or difficulties or suffering. For them, this good news about Jesus and making sure everybody knows it was the most important thing to them. And so in Philippi, as in so many other places before, when they started sharing the good news, they got into trouble. People didn't like it. People were jealous of their popularity. People thought they were teaching something new, breaking old traditions. And so they caused a crowd to turn against them. And they were beaten up, roughed up, and even the legal authorities joined in and had them put into the stocks in this jail, as we saw. That was the passion which drove Paul and Silas. They were possessed by this desire to make sure everybody knows the good news about Jesus. Now, this is a challenge to all of us. On this picture here, you can see an extract from my permit, which allows me to be in Zambia. And if you can read it carefully, you see under the place where it says occupation, it says missionary. So that's why I say I'm officially a missionary. So this story is a great challenge to me. Am I the kind of missionary which Paul was? Am I really possessed with a desire to spend my time spreading the news about Jesus? Or am I just content to live a comfortable life in a pleasant country where, as my children tell you, it's very friendly, the climate is very warm, and a lot of good things about it? Or am I really determined to make sure that I take every opportunity to share the good news about Jesus? That's the challenge which I face, and I believe it's also the challenge which you face, because a missionary is not really, whether it's your official occupation, every follower of Jesus is a missionary. We all are on a mission, the mission to make other disciples of Jesus. Because the good news about Jesus is the best news there is in the world. It's the news which enables us to face the future. We don't need to fear what may be ahead. We can trust God because we know that God is a God who loves us and cares for us. He's the God whose love for us will never end, no matter what circumstances happen, no matter where we find ourselves. God loves each one of us deeply and passionately and eternally. And once we know that, once we've experienced that love in Jesus, we want other people to know that as well. Because it'd be wrong for us to keep such good news to ourselves. And this love of God gives us security. We don't need to be always thinking about making money, where is the next meal coming from? Oh, it would be nice to have this possession. If only I had that gadget, my life would be so much more fulfilled. No, our fulfillment and our contentment comes from knowing Jesus, knowing that he has saved us, knowing that he is in control of the world, knowing that he is the one where we ultimately will end up with him in heaven forever. So this is the passion which drove Paul and Silas, and this should be the passion which should drive each one of us who are followers of Jesus. Paul was very passionate about this. And later on, he wrote to these same Christians there in Philippi some really tremendous but challenging words. And this is the third verse I want us to learn together and say together from Philippians chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. Philippians 1, verse 20 and 21. I eagerly expect and hope that I will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Again, Philippians chapter verse 20, 21. I eagerly expect and hope that I will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. So as we come to the end of our talk this morning, let's ask ourselves the question, what am I possessed by? Maybe they are negative things, like the first two examples we heard about. But perhaps they could be positive things, like the example of Paul and Silas. Let's just take a moment to reflect upon our own lives and ask God to show us whether we are in any way at all like those people who are possessed by evil spirits or possessed by a desire for money, and ask him to make us possessed by the desire to share his gospel everywhere. Let's close in prayer. Maybe we can say this prayer together, if we mean it or if we want to mean it. Lord Jesus Christ, I thank you for the examples of people in the Bible. Give me the desire and the power to avoid what is evil. Keep me from the love of money. Fill me with the certainty that your love for me is forever. Thrill me with the good news of your salvation, which is for everyone. Help me play my part in sharing that message with all people everywhere. May my life be lived only for your praise and glory. Amen. Thank you very much.